Our unchanging faithful God. I know Ron spoke about God last Sunday, and maybe I'll just blame him because I must have been subconsciously thinking these thoughts. But that's fine. I think we could preach on God for a few Sundays and never get done, I'm sure. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Beautiful sunshine, beautiful springtime. Thank you for most of all, for springtime in our hearts and the peace we have through your Son, through your justification. Thank you so much for the truth we heard already this morning. Pray that you would inspire us and speak to our hearts as we look further into your word. In Jesus' name. Our unchanging, faithful God. It's like Delane was talking about, we're coming into another season in our country, a beautiful springtime. We've had a reasonably nice winter, I think, and now we're looking forward to warmer weather and springtime, summertime. And when you really think about it, it's just one small detail of God's faithfulness. The changing of the seasons is just one small detail of God's faithfulness, one small example. And maybe part of the reason I was thinking these thoughts is we live in a world that is constantly changing. The patterns that God has put into motion remain the same. There's some things that definitely stay the same. Like you look at the stars at night, they stay there. There's the same. Sun comes up, goes down, it's the same. Many of those things are the same. And we'll look at a little bit at those later. But many other things that man can change by choice are constantly changing. We are subject to change. Wars happen. Political landscapes change. Men's rules of behavior change. We kind of have this in the back of our mind that, you know, if the world changes, we can make our own new rules. Not really. Not at all, actually. Men's views of God keep changing. 50 or 100 years ago, a lot of people would have went to church Sunday morning, I believe. And now it's, if you're religious at all, you might be on the minority. Friends sometimes change. Not good ones, but sometimes friends change. And that's fine. Men die, people move. We live in a world of change. And it's not all wrong, not all bad either. Sometimes we're in a bad situation and we know the saying that says that this won't last forever. And that's a good thing. So change sometimes is a good thing. But I want to look at how God does not change. Psalm 145, verse 1. We're going to read this chapter for introduction. Psalm 145. It says, I will extol thee, O my God, O my King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of thy might, of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. I'm not going to go down through there. It's just an inspiring psalm to read, an introduction. Get our minds thinking about God and how great he is, how faithful he is, and how he takes care of us. In verse 17 says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And we'll do a little comparing with man too, because to compare how the world we live in and how we think sometimes, the Lord is so opposite of that. He is righteous all the time. He is holy all the time. But the Lord is also nigh unto those that call upon him. That's us this morning. Let's look at unfaithful, changeable, natural man a little bit to compare. Proverbs 19:21. We are almost more familiar with how we think, or men think, because we are men. Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You could say many things about that verse, but it's just interesting how it is so true. We have so many plans, so many devices. Like Dylan was talking about, we have so many plans for a future, and it's good. It's good to plan. It says, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So above all our plans is God. God can change our plans. God can help us with our plans sometimes. But his plan is ultimate. I'm going to look at Proverbs 25:18, just a couple pages over, to compare how we are sometimes. Proverbs 25:18, and comparing with the faithfulness of God, the unchangeableness of God, 25:18 and 19, it says, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And I'm going to talk later about how we can be faithful and true. We don't have to be this way. But it is a fact of life that we are all sometimes this way a bit. We can be that unfaithful man in time of trouble. And it's like a foot out of joint. If anybody's walked with a foot out of joint, we know what that feels like. You don't have balance. You can't do anything. It's just not good. So, just to compare God with man, how we are sometimes, if you ever had a friend maybe that you thought was a friend possibly, or you thought you could have confidence in them, and maybe they let you down. It's kind of like a foot out of joint. You sprain your ankle, it just throws you off. God is never that way. Never. That's not his nature. Just thinking about how natural man can be. Isaiah 40, verse 6. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So there it is, comparing God and man again. We are like grass. We fade away because God blows upon us. It says the people is grass. But the word of our God shall stand forever. Anything about God is forever. It's unchangeable. And that is a comforting thought. When we look at the world we live in and so many things can change, we know that God is there for us. He will not change. What he has in his word won't change. Just because we think so or someone else thinks so, it won't change. We can rest in that. Psalms talks about the same thing. Psalm 102. It says, my days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever in thy remembrance unto all generations. I think I have another verse kind of like that, but I like those. We'll run into a few that maybe say some of the same thoughts. Thy remembrance unto all generations. Men pass away. We're like grass. There it is again. O Lord, thou shalt endure forever. Thy remembrance unto all generations. That's another comforting thought, because we can think of our children after maybe we're gone, or the world that goes on and on till Christ comes. The remembrance of God will be there. It will not pass away. Like, God will make his name known to the next generation, to the next generation after that, forever. Okay, let's look at a little bit at God's unchanging natural laws. Psalm 119, 89. Psalm 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. There it is again, that thought, unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. So there's some constant things about the world we live in. God established it. It stays how it's supposed to be, exactly how he wanted it to be, according to thine ordinances. For all are thy servants. There are some things that don't change about the world. But there it is in 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Even though this world has some things that don't change, it is going to pass away. But God's word will not pass away. It's settled in heaven forever. Genesis 8, 20. This is when Noah came off the ark, I believe. Says, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And you know, that's another wonderful natural law that God has put in progress. And no matter what man thinks or does or claims to know, this is a promise till the end of time. Very simple promise, but very profound, actually. We will have seasons. We will have cold and heat. We will have summer and winter, day and night. Nobody can change that. Not the most powerful man in the world. They cannot change that. That's God's laws, his natural law. One of them. If God forgot the world, forgot for just one day, forgot to send the sunshine and change the night to day, forgot to make the flowers grow, forgot the birds and bees, forgot to send the sweetness of the south wind in the trees, forgot to give us friendships, forgot to send us rain, forgot to give the children play, forgot to soften pain, what would happen to this world and us? Would we still be gay? If God should forget for just one day. God's extras. God could have made the sun to rise without such splendor in the skies. He could have made the sun to set without a glory greater yet. He could have made the corn to grow without the sunny golden glow. The fruits without those colors bright, so pleasant to the taste and sight. And cause the apple trees to bloom without the scent that doth perfume. Those dainty blossoms, pink and white, that fill our hearts with sheer delight. He could have made the ocean roll without such music for the soul. The mighty anthem loud and strong, and birds without their clear, sweet song. The charm of kittens' dainty grace, the dimples in a baby's face. All these are extras from his hand, whose love we cannot understand. The God who fashioned flowers and trees delights to give us things that please, and all his handiwork so fair, his glory and his love declare. Yes, he who made the earth and skies gave extras for our ears and eyes, and while my heart with rapture sings, I thank him for the extra things. Thinking about God's natural laws, God's natural wonders that he gives to us each day, let's think about those things. We do. I know we do. But in our busy, hurried lives, let's stop. It's easy to run out and check the cows, fly out, come back. But is it worth the time to just shut the quad off, whatever you're driving, just look up at the stars? Just for a moment. Okay, let's look at God's unchanging word and will. Job 23. Job 23, verse 10. And we know Job's life. He had many different, we could have probably read many things in this book, but Job 23, verse 10 says, they cause him to go, wrong chapter, 23, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way I have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. And we know the background of Job's story. We know how the devil had the conversation with God, and we don't know where to put all that, but we know Job, His journey through that was amazing. It was heart-wrenching and amazing at the same time. But it's just saying here how Job realized that God, if he had something in his mind, if he allowed something, that's just the way it was going to be. He has one mind, and who can turn him? Not a man in this earth can turn him. We can pray to God, absolutely. And God does answer our prayers. But God will perform things that he has decided. That's just how God is. He's very merciful. Like we heard in Sunday school, he's provided a plan for us that is absolutely amazing. But he also does his will without asking us. We can think of the story of Balaam and Balak, how Balak wanted Balaam to curse the Israelites. And we know how Balaam wanted the money so bad, and he'd go back to God and ask him again and go back how many times. And God just had the same answer, go bless Israel. In verse 20, in Numbers 23, verse 20 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. God doesn't make mistakes. I know we can think of the odd time in when Moses interceded for the Israelites and God repented or changed because of his plan, or maybe when Jonah went to speak to Nineveh. There's a couple times like that where God seems like he repented of the evil he was going to do because the people repented. But as far as God's overall plan, his things, he does not change. Psalm 135, thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. And that's, the memorial there means, in the ESV it says renown, it means memory or remembrance. I talked about that a little earlier. The name of the Lord endureth forever, and thy memory, or the remembrance of God, will be throughout all generations. That's a wonderful thought, that God will be remembered forever. No matter how supposedly advanced the world becomes, and godless the world becomes, God will still cause his name to be remembered. Psalm 119:89, we read that already, but it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Let's look at God's faithfulness. We have been kind of off and on. Some of these verses overlap very much. James 1:17. James 1:17 talks about every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Thought I want there is no variableness. God has no variableness. No variation, no fickleness. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow, another version says. Do you get the picture of something that changes or casts a shifting shadow? You're not quite sure where it is all the time. Maybe it's a person or a situation or a, you name it. You're not quite sure where it's at. God is not like that. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He's not fickle, changing with the weather. He doesn't change. Psalm 36:5, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. I think the psalmist there is just trying to describe how great God's faithfulness is. It reaches to the clouds. That's as high as we can see. Psalm 33, verse 3. It says, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. There's a call for us to sing to God, praise him, because there it is again, the word of the Lord is right. All his works are done in truth. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You know, even in this changing world, there is so much we can see of God that is good. It says the earth is full of it, if we're looking for it. Another verse in Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. We can't say that about ourselves or anyone else that we live with. This person is perfect. Yes, they're perfect in God, but we are fallible. We're imperfect. We're changeable. But God is perfect. His ways are perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, and we can trust in that. 1 Corinthians 10, this is just one verse, maybe off to the side a bit, but it relates to us and God's faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 10:13. When we think of that perfect God, that wonderful God, that caring God, that merciful God, the one that doesn't change, is very faithful. Let's think about that when we're facing temptation. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. There's that word again. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That faithful God that created the world, that unchanging God, his word is unchanging, it's settled in heaven. We can trust that he will give us the strength for absolutely any temptation we face. It says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. It won't happen. If we look to him, he is there for us every time. Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Doesn't stop with our grandchildren or it doesn't stop. It says to 1,000 generations. Second Thessalonians 3, verse 3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Let's look at Proverbs 16. Verse 1. It says, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. In verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Thinking of God's faithfulness, and this is almost more promises of God. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, that faithful God that doesn't change, and thy thoughts shall be established. And from our thoughts, our actions. Think about it. We can tap into that faithful, wonderful God, and he will direct my thoughts, your thoughts, and also our actions. Another verse in Isaiah 57 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one, the one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made." I love that thought there, that God is so powerful, God is so amazing and faithful, but he will not contend forever because of us, because of our souls, because of the souls he hath made. He doesn't want us to fail, doesn't want us to be overpowered. Okay, let's look at God's unchanging salvation a little bit. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we should have maybe looked at more of those verses in that chapter. But just think about Christ, like we studied in Sunday school. That plan that Christ has for us was the same back when he rose from the grave as it is today. It will not change 1,000 years from now if the world lasts that long. Be the same plan Christians will be talking about. Same plan that the disciples talked about. Jesus Christ, his plan, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's wonderful. John 3:16 will still be true till Christ comes back. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That word is settled in heaven. It's not going to change. John 5:24. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's an unchanging promise also. In John 10:27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." This is a promise from God, who is faithful, unchanging, and most powerful. It's just saying there that if we're justified and following Christ, there is no one on this earth that can take us away from God. Let's look a little bit at our response to a faithful God, to our faithful God. Psalm 123. Verse 1 and 2 says, "Unto thee I lift mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us." There's times in life where this verse becomes very real to you, to a person. I remember a time when my sister was over in the Philippines, and Dwight and Beth were in the Philippines, and Beth was very sick for some reason. They ended up figuring out what it was, but I don't know if we even honestly knew she's going to live or not. And I just happened upon this verse, and it just stuck out to me. We actually wait on God that much. As a servant or a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy upon us. We can wait on our faithful God. We can ask him to help us. We can trust him because he's faithful, because he's merciful. Our response to a faithful God. Psalm 89. Verse 1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. Okay, earlier we looked at how man is so fickle, man is so changeable, so unfaithful. But I also believe that we as Christians can become faithful as we follow God. We are changeable by nature, yes. But I believe the closer we follow God, the more stable we become. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, the Lord knows who are his. God is a sure foundation, and he has established an unbreakable foundation for us. He knows his true followers, even amid false teaching and culture change. Let's read 2 Timothy 2:19. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The reason I believe this is true, you can argue with me about us becoming more faithful, more true, like God. We'll never become like God, but we can grow like him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The thought I want to leave is, we as his followers can become faithful. We can become not infallible, never, but we can become that faithful person following God. God's followers today don't change with the world. They're God's friends. They still love his word and his commands. They love each other. They don't let each other down. Ephesians 4 talks about not following every wind of doctrine, but being stable. I'm not going to read that, but you can read it for yourself. Has a thought of growing in Christ and being one in the Spirit. I'm not sure can't remember everything that it says there, but just the thought of becoming faithful as we follow God, even though we'll never be infallible like God. Let's look at the unchanging day of the Lord. 2 Peter 3:8. I believe Ron read maybe a verse or two of this last Sunday, but that's fine. We could probably read it every Sunday because it's going to happen. 2 Peter 3:8 says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And this is our faithful God, his words to us. He's coming back, and he's not slack. It's going to happen. But the reason he's waiting is so more can come to him. More people can come to him. Let's be earnest about it. Let's ask God for opportunities, like we heard in devotions. Let's look for ways to serve him and spread his word. The eye that never sleeps. There is an eye that never sleeps beneath the wing of night. There is an ear that never shuts when sink the beams of light. There is an arm that never tires when human strength gives way. There's a love that never fails when earthly loves decay. Thank you for your attention. God bless.